Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a large crowd gathered at Letterkenny University Hospital this lunchtime to support calls for the immediate establishment of an acute stroke unit in Letterkenny University Hospital. Voting will take place in County Tipperary in the election on Saturday, despite the death of a candidate earlier this week. We'll have a report from the second and final day of Highland Radio's pre-election debates. Greg Hughes spoke to six candidates on the 9 till noon show. We'll have a full summary. An independent election candidate in the county says he's concerned that tensions in the waters around Rockhall may emerge once again, and a number of controversial walking routes have been withdrawn from the draft Malinhead visitor management plan. And later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news that's coming up at around about 5:15. Good evening. We begin with that protest at Letterkenny University Hospital at lunchtime today, organised by consultant geriatrician Professor Ken Mulpeter. A large crowd gathered at the hospital to support his call for a protest to support the immediate establishment of an acute stroke unit. Dr. Mulpeter says that Letterkenny is the only acute hospital in the country not to have such a facility. And speaking to Greg Hughes from Highland Radio at the protest, Professor Mulpeter said he was gratified at the public response to his request for support.
I'm very happy that all the support I've got. I couldn't do this on my own, and I very much value the help, the support of both the general public and the staff who work with me in the hospital. And as we have this placard says here, acute stroke unit is basic stroke care, and we just want to know where is ours.
Do you think the scale of this protest today means that it can't be ignored now?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I don't know what else we can do to convince the people in power that we need a stroke unit now. It's medically unjustifiable not to have a stroke unit in Letterkenny today.
And again, to reiterate, this is not a squabble about numbers. You know the story. Yeah. It's about signing off on this.
This is already agreed. There was but then it came to a sudden halt. The numbers are agreed, the staffing is agreed, but we just need to have it in place. And we just need to recruit the staff, but we need to have the permission to do that and the funding to do that.
And that was Professor Ken Mulpeter, consultant geriatrician there at Letterkenny University Hospital. Voting will happen in County Tipperary in the general election on Saturday, despite the death of a candidate earlier this week. It had initially been thought that the election would be postponed. However, another candidate then threatened legal action. With the details, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
The death of Maurice Skeehan earlier this week threw the election in Tipperary into doubt. The legislation applicable says that if a candidate dies, a new election must be called. However, this has been put under legal scrutiny by the Attorney General after the threat of legal action by independent candidate Matty McGrath. Returning officer for the constituency, James Seymour, says work is now underway to facilitate the vote on Saturday.
We understand that the order will be signed sometime later today, and accordingly I am now preparing to hold the poll on Saturday and the count on the Sunday.
It avoids the many issues that would have been raised by holding the Tipperary election at a later date to the rest of the country, and means that people in that constituency will get to vote on Saturday.
Well, the second day of Highland Radio's pre-election debates took place today on the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes. Among the topics discussed during the six-way debate were immigration, direct provision, the lack of an acute stroke unit at Letterkenny University Hospital, home help, fishing rights, climate change and gather resources. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
Today's debate began with questions asked over possible coalitions and where allegiance would potentially lie for the independents come next week. Outgoing TD and independent candidate Thomas Pringle had this to say when asked if he would support a Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil government.
I believe that it's time now for an alternative government. I believe that it's time for a government of the left to be formed in this country, which would make up by left-wing independents and all the various left-wing parties.
And you could see yourself getting involved in that?
I definitely could. I see that, but I will certainly not be getting involved with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael.
Fianna Fáil candidate Pat the Cope Gallagher says he was never happy with the previous confidence and supply agreement.
We put the country before the party and we worked on confidence and supply. We would have preferred to have gone about 12 months ago, but there was a Brexit issue. And we had to support the government, and there was cross-party support for Brexit, okay. Greg. But your answer to your question is, I wasn't happy.
Sinn Féin campaign finance spokesperson and candidate Piers Doherty says his party is hungry for change.
I think this is the time for grown-up politics. And look, we'll only be in government if we can deliver that change. That's what we're hungry for, not government. We're hungry for the change, I think, that people in Donegal want.
Independent candidate Niall McConnell outlined his controversial policies on immigration.
My loyalty lies with the Irish nation and the Irish people. How does it benefit the Irish nation when you flood the country with immigrants? It doesn't benefit us in any way. Okay. How does it benefit us?
Well, under the topic of direct provision, independent candidate Peter Casey had this to say.
It's a terrible stain on Irish society. Either they're there legally, in which case they should be given a warm Irish welcome, or they're there illegally and they're given a cup of tea and a plane ticket back to the first place that they landed in.
When Fianna Fáil candidate Pat the Cope Gallagher was asked for his reaction to Casey's comments, Peter Casey attempted to intervene, resulting in some tension.
Direct provision doesn't affect us much in this county. And of course, direct provision, there's an attitude, we all favour it, but not in my backyard. Okay. Now, it's not affecting Donegal that much.
I don't favour it either.
Well, we must help others. Listen.
Peter Casey, I didn't interrupt you.
You might want to think that you can have it all your way.
The lack of an acute stroke unit at Letterkenny saw Sinn Féin candidate Piers Doherty take a swipe at Fine Gael.
If you look at Letterkenny University Hospital, if you look at the amount of inpatients and outpatients, it is clearly that we are disadvantaged in terms of staffing and resource into that hospital, and we've made that point numerous occasions to the Minister and to the Taoiseach directly, and it's fallen on deaf ears.
Responding, Fine Gael candidate Martin Harley indicated that he wouldn't necessarily toe the party line if elected.
It's all right but towing the party line, but I want to get on there not to toe the party line. I want to go on there to make real change. I want to be there on the front bench of the Fine Gael party making changes. I mean, we just can't keep going on the way we're going on.
Your party line is to take that investment away. We have closed beds, consultants vacant, we have nurses, and we have a recruitment embargo that you don't agree with.
Okay. It's okay investing in these things, but we have to get the structures properly. We have to get it right.
On the issue of home help, Pat the Cope Gallagher and Piers Doherty defended their party's plans for addressing the lack of available hours.
6 million yous are providing. It costs 2.1 million every year to provide this.
The funding for it.
6 million is only one million. It's half of the amount that is required.
I said 6 million home help hours.
Yes,
not 6 million.
Yes, over 5 years, Pat. There's 2 million. 2 million by five is 10. These are underfunding even to clear the home help waiting list.
On fishing rights, Fine Gael candidate Martin Harley raised concern over Killybegs fishermen being particularly targeted.
The SFPA have put in regulations on the Killybegs boats that they want the water taken off the fish and then weighed, which is damaging the product, which we have a great history of a great product and Killybegs of fishing. Yet, on we down the pier, the other foreign boats don't have to. They're using a different weighing system.
Climate change also came up for discussion with independent candidate Thomas Pringle saying while he wants to see an end to the burning of fossil fuels, alternative solutions need to be found.
What bothers me is burning fossil fuels as well. And the reality is that what we need to do is we need to address climate change and we need to find put solutions for people so that people can survive. Because the reality is people cut turf in Donegal because they can't afford to heat their own.
The debate concluded with a clash between Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty and independent Niall McConnell over Garda resources in Donegal.
The politicians sitting around me here, they're in Dáil Éireann. Why haven't they, helped guards and got Garda cars for Donegal? Like, it's an absolute disgrace.
Before you decided to put your name on the ballot paper, have you ever raised it with the Garda Commissioner, with senior Garda members? Because I've met with them and demanded that they reinstate a Garda car that was vacant in Bunbeg for over a year. I've written to the Commissioner in relation to Killybegs and Carrick. Have you actually ever raised this issue that you're spouting on about now?
And that was Deputy Piers Doherty, ending that report from Catherine Gaffney. Meanwhile, an independent election candidate in Donegal says he's concerned that tensions in the waters around Rockall last year may emerge again as a Brexit trade deal is discussed. Moville-based Arthur McGuinness says he's had discussions with many fishermen in North Inishowen and elsewhere who believe Rockall could become a contentious issue during the talks, which are getting underway this week. Mr. McGuinness says it is a matter of concern.
About Brexit too and Rockall, the fishermen are telling me that because the waters are half in and half out of the EU, and they might have a problem there.
There's a lot of talking to take place in the next few months. You believe Rockall should be part of those discussions?
Yes, it should be, yeah.
there was some tensions around Rockall there a few months ago with Scottish protection officers and Irish boats. That eased a bit. Are you worried that could flare up again?
It could flare up. You see, you know, they pulled out, but it's going to take them months to talk about quotas and deals with Europe and us.
Are you worried that the Donegal fishermen might get forgotten in any deal that's done?
Yes, I am, yeah. I see the EU is imposing quotas, and sometimes people can't go out because of that, because of them quotas.
Arthur McGuinness there, an independent candidate in the election on Saturday. A number of controversial walking routes have been withdrawn from the draft visitor management plan from Allen Head. The withdrawal was confirmed in a statement this afternoon from Donegal County Council and Fáilte Ireland. With more, here's Greg Hughes.
For the past number of months, consultants have been working on the draft plan with the intention of leveraging Malin Head's position as the most northerly signature discovery point on the Wild Atlantic Way. The draft plan, which was published last month, contains a number of potential walking routes, with the council saying the potential for the development of walking as a key visitor experience is one of the strategies being considered. However, on Highland Radio's 9 till noon show and elsewhere, a number of landowners who would be potentially affected hit out at the plan, saying they were never consulted. Today's statement from the council and Fáilte Ireland says, in light of concerns arising in the locality, a review of the walking route concepts and associated mapping was undertaken by both agencies, and these routes are now being withdrawn from the draft visitor management plan. Instead, they'll look for expressions of interest from local farmers and landowners so walking routes can be developed in full consultation with the landowners concerned.
Sinn Féin's Conor Murphy has apologised to Paul Quinn's family for claiming the 21-year-old was a criminal after his murder. Mr Murphy, the North Finance Minister, says he regrets the remarks he made and is sorry they added to the Quinn family's grief. With more, here's Shane Beattie.
Paul Quinn's parents blame members of the IRA for their son's murder in 2007 near Castle Blaney in Monaghan. In the weeks after his killing, Conor Murphy, a senior Sinn Féin figure, claimed Mr Quinn was involved in criminality before his death. Paul's mother, Breege, demanded an apology earlier.
First of all, he had said he didn't see it, and then now he has said he did see it, and now he's going to apologise. He must come out and apologise publicly to us on national television.
Conor Murphy has now issued an apology. He said he very much regrets comments he made in the aftermath of Paul's murder, which have added to the grief felt by the Quinns. He said he wishes to apologise for those remarks and unreservedly withdraw them, and has offered to meet the Quinn family. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald says she won't be asking Conor Murphy to resign.
Look, we're only after getting the power-sharing government back up and running. We have to make a success of this. I believe everybody is determined to do so. So Conor won't be stepping down.
Breege Quinn says she would be prepared to meet Mr Murphy once he makes a public apology and goes to police with any information about her son's murder, including about the men who reassured him the killing wasn't carried out by the IRA.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get everything you need for training and match days in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. It's with soccer we begin, and Niall Quinn says the FAA will now start delivering on promises made at government buildings. The interim deputy CEO was speaking at the launch of the new SSE Artistry League season in Abbottstown. Quinn says there were several conditions laid down with their financial rescue package, and the association intends to act.
It's about delivering on the terms that we agreed with in government, in Minister Ross's building last week, that we would see to it that facilities at stadiums will be better, that players' conditions will be better, that academies will be built, that the women's game will be brought forward, that grassroots, you know, not only gets the pat on the back it deserves for what it does, but that its value is known throughout the land.
Cross channel, Tottenham can extend their unbeaten run to 6 matches this evening. They host Southampton in the FA Cup fourth round replay following Sunday's victory over Manchester City. A home tie with Norwich awaits the winners. Boss Jose Mourinho says there's a really good spirit in the squad right now.
Our last matches, there is one thing that I think is clear at the eyes of everybody, which is the group is together. The players are fantastic guys. They fight for each other, they fight for the club.
Celtic have another chance to further extend their winning run in the Scottish Premiership tonight. They've won every game since the winter break. The leaders are at third place Motherwell following wins over Kilmarnock, Ross County, St Johnstone and Hamilton. Captain Scott Brown says the fixtures may be coming thick and fast, but they don't mind that.
We just look forward to playing games, and it's an excellent bunch of lads that are in that change room. We thrive off the games, we look forward to it. Hamilton at the weekend, it was always going to be difficult going on the Astro. They started well and then we got a little bit of luck as well. But sometimes you need that in football.
Celtic are 7 points ahead of second place Rangers tonight. The blue side of Glasgow are in action this evening as well as they play Hibernia. Both games start 7:45. Pubble Skulgidor were crowned to FAI Schools National Senior B Champions today. The Donegal side came from 2-1 down in extra time to defeat St Joseph's of Foxford in the final played at Ballysadare United in Sligo. Patrick Ferry scored the winner just minutes from the end of extra time to give Gidor the John Murphy Cup. Stephen McFadden and an OG were the other scorers for Gidor today on an excellent day for the school. Meanwhile, in the Junior B Girls National Cup semi-final, there was disappointment for Colaiste Allaf Letterkenny as they lost out to Kilna Presentation Tullamore by 3-1. And the school's fixtures continue tomorrow for Northwest Sides. The Minor B Boys Ulster Final is taking place on the 3G AstroTurf pitch at the Letterkenny Community Centre. It sees PCC Fulcara up against Colaiste Alley, and that one kicks off tomorrow at 2 o'clock. To Gaelic Games, the LYT Ladies are through to the Moynihan Cup quarterfinals. That's thanks to a 10-point win over DCU today at the O'Donnell Park. 2 goals from Lauren Cregan and another from Nicole Jordan helped the Letterkenny side to a comfortable 3-16 to a 3-6 victory. Well, after slipping to a late defeat at the hands of Kerry last weekend, Galway will look for a second win in Division 1 when they come to the O'Donnell Park this coming Sunday. A Galway victory against Donegal will leave them in a strong position and under the break, while a second one for Declan Bonner's side will keep them top of the division. Sean Mulkernan marked David Clifford last time out, and he could be up against Michael Murphy this weekend.
Kerry's obviously disappointing, and I suppose there's a bit of pressure on us now, you know, just being on 2 points, but sure, look at Donegal. Donegal are a class act themselves. They have such quality players, and it'll be a tough challenge now trying to come away with any type of point now, points on Sunday.
You came up against Donegal in the 2016 All-Ireland Minor semi-final, and both teams now have players kind of pushing on now into the senior team.
Yeah, it's a good sign, I guess. There's 4 or 5 of us kind of lurking in and out of the senior setup. You know, you have Niall O'Donnell, you have Jason McGee and Oran Ferry as well, you know. And Northern ourselves, you have Rob Finnerty, Desi Keneally, and I suppose Keane Darcy and Finian Lee, of course. So, yeah, it's good to see the youth coming through.
You had David Clifford last week. You might have Michael Murphy this week. It doesn't get much easier.
No, and that's the beauty of Division 1, I guess. You know, you're marking the best that there is. And that's it's a welcoming challenge as well, you know. You want to beat Merrick in the best, that's why you play the game, and certainly Michael Murphy is probably one of the best ever, you know.
So, big game ahead, Donegal against Galway this coming weekend. It will, of course, be live here on Highland on Sunday afternoon. And on tonight's GA programme with Tom Comack, Tom will look ahead to that tie. He's joined by Galway man Frank Rush, who played intercounty football for Donegal and Galway, and is also joined by former Donegal All-Ireland winning footballer Charlie Mulgrew. That, of course, is the big game this weekend, part of a double header in the O'Donnell Park, not forgetting about the Donegal ladies taking on Galway in the curtain raiser at 12 noon on Sunday. Plus, also tonight in the programme as well, Loretta Mulford, senior manager, Adrian Doherty looks ahead to Friday's historic first Ulster Colleges McLaren Cup quarter-final meeting with St Patrick's of Downpatrick, who are the reigning champions. To rugby now, James Ryan has signed a new 3-year central contract with the IRFU. The deal keeps Ryan in the green jersey until the end of the 2022-23 season. Ryan has been named in the Ireland team to play Wales in the Six Nations on Saturday. And finally, the chief executive of the organising committee for the Tokyo Olympics say they're extremely worried about the impact of the coronavirus and what it could have on the games. Toshiro Muta hopes it will be eradicated as quickly as possible. A number of qualification events ahead of this summer's event have already been impacted by the virus. That's it, Donal. Don't forget GA programme tonight as from 7:25 with Tom Comack and Oliver Nix-Bulletin. tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thank you, Washing. A road safety campaigner says it's unacceptable and worrying that checks on lifts at NCT centres only took place after problems were identified in the north. Initial checks last week found cracking in at least one lift, leading to the suspension of underbody testing in all 47 NCT centres. The National Car Testing Service says new lifts should be operational this week in 14 centres, including Letterkenny. No dates yet been given for the resumption of full services in Derrybeg, Donegal Town or Carndonagh. Susan Gray, the founder of the road safety group Park, says it is a concern that the problem was only found after it was first found north of the border.
We would have expected or thought that they would have automatically been doing tests on a regular basis on these machines under the health and safety rules, but obviously it hadn't been. So it's very worrying that it took Northern Ireland to come out before we here in the Republic say that maybe we should check our machines as well.
A West Tyrone MLA is demanding urgent action on the future of Strabane out of RSGP services. The cover there has, we're told, reduced dramatically, with just 26% coverage in 2019. Ongoing funding is said to be the core of the issue. Daniel McCrossan says Stormont must act.
This is an absolute disgrace, in my opinion, and I think that there should be a fully functional service in Strabane to accommodate the needs of people when and if they need them. Strabane has lost enough public services over the years, and I don't think there is any justification for this from Western Urgent Care. Now, I will be seeking a follow-up meeting with them, but these figures are stark, and these figures will provide great concern for the wider electorate out there in Strabane and people who are relying on the service. 76% of shifts not covered over the last year.
And a major research project to be based in Donegal will explore ways to reduce the amount of time cancer patients spend in hospital by bringing some of their treatment into the community. The €160,000 project will see some oral chemotherapy provided in GP community care centres, with the patients carefully monitored, so the potential for this model to be rolled out elsewhere is assessed. The initiative will be formally launched at a conference in Letterkenny at the weekend, being hosted by Donegal Relay for Life, which is providing funding for the project. Its chairperson, Robert O'Connor, says this is the second major research project to be based at Letterkenny University Hospital.
This is the second project that we will have funded with the Irish Cancer Society. In fact, during the sort of period 17, 18 to 21, 22, there'll be about 300,000 invested in local research led by Dr. Janice Richmond, the oncology nurse in Letterkenny Hospital, as a great vote of confidence in the county, but also a great vote of confidence in our hospital.
It's an important project, this one, because it's looking at the possibility of delivering chemotherapy in primary care centres, keeping people out of acute hospitals, and that really is one of the things at the absolute epicentre of health policy at the moment. So no doubt every district and every hospital in the country is going to be looking at this one with interest.
Oh, I think the spotlight is very much on the results of this one, the outcome of it with Janice and her team, that you know, other areas will certainly be looking at this. And it's great to see that Donegal are leading the way on this sort of research project. And it's something that I know the Donegal public will take that on board with their ongoing support and everything for us throughout the year.
And that was Robert O'Connor. Weather forecast, it'll be dry this evening with light, mainly southerly winds, a little fresher near Atlantic coasts. Dry tonight with clear spells, lowest temperatures -1 to +2 degrees Celsius, frost, mist and fog returning, mostly light south to southeast winds. Tomorrow Thursday, frost, mist and fog will clear, leaving a dry, bright day with a good deal of cloud, but some sunny spells at times. Moderate, fresh on the coast, southeast breezes with afternoon highs of 7 to 8 degrees Celsius. And the news in brief before we go. And a large crowd gathered at Letterkenny University Hospital this lunchtime to support calls for the immediate establishment of an acute stroke unit. The protest was called by consultant geriatrician Professor Ken Mulpeter. He said he was encouraged by the amount of people who attended. Voting will take place in Tipperary in the general election on Saturday, despite the death of a candidate there. A number of controversial walking routes have been withdrawn from the draft visitor management plan for Malin Head. The withdrawal was confirmed in a statement this afternoon from Donegal County Council and Foyle Ireland. Sinn Féin's Conor Murphy has apologised to Paul Quinn's family for claiming the 21-year-old was a criminal after his murder in 2007. And the second of Highland Radio's pre-election debates has taken place today. You can listen back to that debate on our website, highlandradio.com. Next news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 5th of February. The death has occurred of Cyril Glenn,
Craig's Road, Raphoe. Cyril's remains will repose at Kelly's funeral home, Oakfield, Raphoe, on Friday morning from 11 o'clock, with removal from there at 20 to 2, going to Raphoe Presbyterian Church for service at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the family plot. Family Flowers Only, please, donations if desired to Raphoe Presbyterian Church, care of any family member, or Kelly Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Raphoe. The death has taken place of Annie McBurty, Neil Lynch, the Diamond Lifford, and formerly of Tully Owen, St Johnson. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Bathan's Church, St Johnson, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Friends of Lifford Hospital, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Michael Devlin, St Columbkill Village, and formerly of Minaduff, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at his nephew Edward Devlin's residence at Minaduff. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:20 to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Columbkill Village, care of any family member, or Comiskey Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Kathleen McGonigal, 121 Muldener Road, Cloddy, County Derry. Funeral from her late residence tomorrow morning to St Peter and Paul's Church, Ballymoney, Dungiven, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has occurred of Mary the Glen Boyle, Arranmore Island. Mary's remains are reposing at her late residence with rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Arranmore Island, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight until morning.